Scripture reading today is from Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 7, followed by verses 34 through 41. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man, and I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? On what were the bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds in its garment and the thick darkness in the band. Continuing on with verse 34. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that the floodwaters may cover you? Can you send forth lightning so that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Or who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tilt the water skins of heaven when the dust runs into a mass and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their covert? Who provides for the raven and its prey when its young cries to God and wander about for lack of food? This is the word of the Lord. Many years ago, my family got me a Father's Day present. One of the things I would always say to the boys when they were younger, they would ask why, and I said, well, because I said so. And that was kind of... So they got tired of that after a while, and they got me a cup that says, because I'm Bob, that's why. I'm quite fond of this. They don't listen to me half the time anymore. They're sort of on their own now, but it's kind of funny. They reach a point in their lives when, because I said so, or because I'm Bob, that's why, it just didn't cut it anymore. They wanted answers that had a little bit more depth to it, a little bit more meaning to it. And so they got me that mug just to kind of let me know that they've reached that point in their lives. So there you have it. We finally reached the point in the book of Job where God actually responds. And God shows up in a whirlwind. And he is no longer silent. And he said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. One commentator said, basically, God told Job to hike up his diaper and answer a few questions. Then God takes Job on this quick tour of creation and asks him a few questions along the way. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who said to the sea, thus far you shall come but no further? Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness? Surely you know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. So Job asked God many why questions in the first 37 chapters. In a cursory reading of God's response in chapter 38, one might conclude that God essentially says, because I'm God, that's why, to Job's questions. One of the striking images about God's response is that he takes Job back to creation itself. And he doesn't just tell Job about these things. I think he actually... I'm going to wait a minute on that. Just want to make sure that they're attentive here. God takes Job back to Genesis and shows him creation and shows him a few things about that. And he says, let there be light, and things unfold, and the creation of the cosmos and the creation of the world and the creation of all the animals. And God shows Job all of this and asks him, can you do all this? Are you able to do this, Job? We are now able to kind of scratch the surface on some of the physics behind creation and things like that. But for every question that a scientist answers, then there's two more questions to be answered after they answer one question. So we know certain things, but then we realize just how much we don't know. The animal kingdom is incredibly complex. There's so much diversity. I was out watering in the backyard and the flowers, and this green, well, he wasn't green at the time, but this lizard jumped out. He was brown, and then he turned green. And then this red thing, he was like puffing this red thing, and I kind of got scared, and I moved away from that thing because he looked kind of scary to me. So as I moved away from him, I noticed under the wheelbarrow there was a hornet's nest. It was a big nest. And so I was thinking I could spray it with Raid, but I could maybe do that 20 years ago when I could run faster, but I can't do that now. So I let them be, and I took that opportunity to get back into the house where it was safe and all that, and I called a pest guy to come out there and deal with those things. But we live in an incredibly complex world. The animal kingdom, Dr. Jim's a veterinarian. I'm sure there's complexities I don't even know about that are there. It's very complex. But God doesn't even get to creation of human beings in telling Job all this stuff. He just gets to the creation of the cosmos, creation of the world, creation of animals. He doesn't even touch on the complexity of human beings. So one has to wonder, what is God doing here to Job? Is he battering him a bit more? Because Job has been battered throughout the entire book of Job. His friends have been battering him. He feels battered from what has happened in the beginning of the book. So is that what God is doing here? We don't have the tone of how God was speaking to Job. And we can read these verses just like I read them. Where were you when I did this? Or where were you when I did that? Kind of a condescending type tone. And I think that's how we tend to read these things here, as if God is putting Job in his place. But I'm not sure that's the kind of tone that was used here. I don't think that's the tone that God used in these verses here today. To Job and to us here today, this response may not seem very comforting that God has given Job. I had a class that I had to take yesterday, pastoral class. I've had every Saturday this month. Every three out of the four Saturdays for the whole summer I've been in classes. I was in one yesterday. God probably would not pass the pastoral care class with this response here today to Job's questions. He didn't seem very comforting to Job. At least on the surface, it doesn't seem that way. But I think what God is trying to do is he's trying to move Job beyond the endless cycle of the question or the couple of questions that he has, where Job has been stuck at since chapter 2 ended. God is trying to move him beyond that point. As I noted a couple weeks ago, when I have had my Job moments in my life, some of the greatest words of comfort that I received was a word from the Lord that simply told me, "You will not understand this." And that to me at the time didn't seem comforting, but it was actually very comforting, because it allowed me to leave some things behind, some things that I will never be able to answer and to fully understand, and to move on from that to some other things in life. And I think God is trying to move Job from that place where he was at to a different place where there's new possibilities and perhaps some new questions, but a different way of life than what Job was used to. And we can get bogged down in the questions that may never get answered, or we can move forward living freely in this world that God has created for us. We can enjoy the beauty of the sunlight. We can enjoy even rain and thunderstorms. We had some of those this week. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of rain and some thunderstorms this week. It was kind of nice. Cooler weather out there. It's always nice. We can live in a world where we are able to love and to have loving relationships. But with that, there's also the heartbreak of the loss of people that we love and the loss of those relationships. That is a reality that is part of this world. So Job had many questions that went unanswered. But one question that God does seem to answer in this section is Job, in many ways, was asking, is there really any meaning to all this? Or is this world just simply chaotic, full of random events? Is there anything that's really guiding this world? And God points Job, when he takes him through this Genesis account, to some deep structures and some deep order to the universe that he was not able to perceive. There is an underlying structure. There is order. There is meaning. Yes, there is a tremendous amount of freedom that we have in this world, but it is not total chaos. God gives place to creation, to the sea. And in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, where we see where the sea was calm in the new in Revelation, in the Old Testament, often the sea meant chaos. It meant disorder. It meant waves crashing over things and flooding things and things of that nature. But God says, thus far you shall come and no farther, and here your proud waves be stayed. So he puts limits on creation. God establishes the dawn, but he sets limits on human wickedness. God provides all of God's creatures. He provides for them. We see that in this reading where he provides for them. In the divine speeches, God reestablishes order, and he celebrates the beauty and freedom that we have in creation, and he shows Job all of this. Now, if you remember back in chapter 3, Job wanted to undo all that, and he wanted to undo it to the point where he basically wanted to undo his life. He basically said, I wish I'd never been born. And Job sounds like, if we go back to last Advent when I preached on the sermon series on It's a Wonderful Life, when George Bailey jumps off the bridge into the river to end his life, and Clarence, the angel, jumps in the water to save him. He saves George. They're in this little house in this shack where he's all wet. They're drying off. And George Bailey says, I wish I'd never been born. That was his response. And Clarence, the wheels start turning in Clarence's head, and he says, okay, well, I'll show you what this world would be like if you had never been born. And the world was a much darker place without George Bailey in the world. And I think that's some of the things that God is trying to show Job here, where Job says, I wish I'd never been born. And I think he's trying to help him understand that there's far more than he can perceive of what is going on in this world. The psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in a way, God has taken a risk with creation, especially with mankind, because he has given us a tremendous amount of freedom. And some people believe that God controls every little minute aspects of our lives. Everything that we do, everything that happens, everything, God is doing it. And basically, we are like chess pieces, and God is just moving chess pieces on a board. I think Job's friends probably thought that way. I think Job may have thought that way. Sometimes we can think that way. But I don't think God operates that way. And I think the book of Job challenges that understanding that creation has tremendous freedom, and God creates some boundaries for that creation that it cannot go beyond. But within this area, there is a tremendous amount of freedom. And unlike Job and his friends, we know what took place in chapters 1 and 2. Don't forget that Job doesn't know about the exchange between God and the adversary. Job's friends don't know that, but we know that. And we know that God did not bring about this disaster. The adversary brought about these things in Job's life. But even the adversary was told by God, you can go this far, but you cannot go beyond this point. God set limits to what the adversary can do. So the Bible seems to indicate that we have a tremendous amount of freedom, but it also seems to indicate that there are many things that God has decreed, that God has kind of etched in stone. And one of those things is the promises that God has made in Jesus Christ. That is one of those decrees, that is one of those foundational structures that cannot be removed. No matter how hard we try and the world tries, that structure cannot be removed. We can put our trust, we can put our hope in that. And God has set some boundaries for human beings that we cannot go beyond. In chapter 3 of Genesis, when they had the forbidden fruit, there was also the tree of life there. And God banished them from the garden. And I think in a way that was graceful, so they would not eat that fruit and have eternal life in this eternal state of sin and separation from God. God in his wisdom would not allow that. In his grace and his mercy, he has placed a boundary on our years. And he says, my spirit shall not contend with man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. So God has put a limit on our years. Finally, Jesus in Matthew 24 indicates that God will step in and prevent man from complete destruction. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, for such has not been seen since the beginning of the world until now. And in those days, had they not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So we see where God creates some boundaries and limits that we cannot cross. But we do have tremendous freedom and tremendous latitude to make choices in this world and with our lives. And that is obvious. We just have to simply look around the world and see that we have tremendous amount of freedom that God has given us. So much so that people nowadays are saying, well, God doesn't even exist. There's so much freedom that they seem to think that God doesn't exist. Or others believe that God simply set this world in motion and is off in a distance, not entering into this world. The Bible doesn't speak like that. God is involved in his creation. God is God, and he is involved in his creation, and he is there with us. He intercedes for us, and in sometimes intercedes in powerful ways, and we call those ways miracles. And we've probably in some way, shape, or form have experienced a miracle in our lives. And people will say, well, it's just coincidence or whatever. But deep down we know that it's a miracle of God. It is something that God has done in our lives. No matter what they say, it's not going to convince us otherwise because we know. But we do ask the questions, like Job, why doesn't God step in and stop some of the madness that seems to be going on in the world? But even though God gives us freedom, he still is in control. And next week, when I wrap up this sermon series, I'm going to be talking about Job chapter 42, where Job says to God that you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God's plans cannot be thwarted. And to me, that's where the true power of God is actually revealed to us, that we have this freedom where we can do essentially anything that we want to do. Yet despite of all the things that we do, like I was telling the kids where their parents may say, do this, and we do that. We're the same way. God says, do this, we do that. Even despite of all of our rebellion and all of our chaos, God's plans will not be thwarted. It's not like he's moving chess pieces around. The powerful nature of God is he accomplishes these things and brings these things to pass while working through the chaos that we bring about in this world. He brings things about, he redeems things, in other words. That's what he is doing. He is redeeming things. And I think that's one of the powerful takeaways from the book of Job, is that God is redeeming all of this. Maybe not in our time frame, maybe not as quick as we would like, but he is doing that. I'm thankful that God does not answer all my questions that I have, because my questions are rather limited. If he answered all my questions, my world would start to get very, very small, because my questions are too limited. I think God invites us to leave some of those questions behind that we think we need answered. I think he's bidding us to leave those questions behind and explore some new possibilities and some different things in this world, rather than getting stuck on things that we cannot possibly answer. He wants us to show us some of the beauty in this world that is out there. Beauty of a sunset, beauty of relationships, beauty of love within those relationships. And yes, those relationship ends and those things can cause pain. But I'd rather have those relationships than not have them at all, you know? That's how it is. And God understands that, and he's redeeming all of that. So I don't think he's berating Job in all of this. I think he's just trying to show Job that there is a wisdom far beyond any wisdom that you have or I have or any of us have, that God does have. He gives us bits of wisdom. The Bible says that. The Spirit enlightens us. It gives us some wisdom, but we do not have infinite wisdom like God has. So I think we have to be prepared to leave some things behind that we can't possibly answer and move on to new possibilities that God has in store for us. So that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at over this next, hopefully this next year. You know, I'm going to be here at least for another year. So we're going to be looking at some new possibilities. We're doing a lot of different things here. You know, we have the SCI thing going on with new visions and things like that. And it's not new visions, really. It's not like we're dreaming up stuff on our own here. This is simply capturing biblical wisdom, biblical visions of what God has in store for us that we can do here in this place and in this community. And I think we're starting to do some of those things. And we've been doing those things. Let's not kid ourselves. We've been doing those things, maybe not perfectly, but we've been doing some good things, and we're going to continue to do some different things. And I think that is where God is leading us, to new possibilities of new creation here in this community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.